everybody. My name is Amanda Haupt, and I am the project manager for the Social and Economic Impacts of Gambling in Massachusetts study, or SIGMA study. I'll call it SIGMA for the rest of this presentation. I'm coming in with a little bit of a time deficit, so I'm going to try to get to the demonstration kind of quickly. So I'll give you background quickly. I guess the place to start is just with acknowledgments and disclosure. It's important to acknowledge for all of you that funding, full or partial funding for the work that I'm about to share was provided by the Massachusetts Gaming Commission. Despite this, the opinions I express are my own and do not reflect the MGC's opinions. I don't have any other competing interests. So just to give you a little bit of background on the project, my purpose in presenting to you really is threefold. One is to give you sort of a sense of the context in which we're doing the work that we're doing. The second is to demonstrate a very helpful technological tool, an interactive web application that you can use to share health-related data with a lay audience. And then my third piece is just to give you a sense of the resources that you can use in your own work settings to implement these apps yourself. So just to give you a little bit of background, the theme of the conference is health in all policies, and I think that the project I'm working on really is a great example of how that can take shape. So I work in the state of Massachusetts, and in late November, 2011, the Expanded Gaming Act was passed. And what that piece of legislation does is it essentially legalizes casino gambling in the state of Massachusetts for the first time. And it does so with some restrictions. So there are three regions. You can see them on the map in burgundy, green, and blue, and allows for resort-style casinos to be placed in each of those three geographically diverse regions. It also allows for one slot parlor to be located there. So that was passed in 2011. It's 2015. We currently have one slots parlor there in the green and blue kind of straddling where that star is. And then we have two resort-style casinos that have been licensed. In the Burgundy area, that's Springfield, Massachusetts, and in the green area to the far right, that's Everett. These communities really couldn't be more different from each other in some ways. Springfield is an urban community, a smaller sort of urban population, with some significant economic disadvantages. And so they're a very economically challenged community. Everett is a city that surrounds Boston, so even though it's sort of, it's not a huge city in and of itself, it has a big city feel, and the casino that will be there will have that big city feel. And then Plainville is a very tiny community with kind of an industrial feel. So it's sort of interesting when you think about examining impacts, how different these communities are. One of the things that makes the Expanded Gaming Act really unique, and the work that I do really unique, and that our project does, is that it incorporates a research mandate. So basically, legislators, a certain group of legislators, refused to pass this legislation without a research mandate. It's very important to them that impacts of this new change be examined. So there are three essential elements to the research agenda that's a part of this piece of legislation. The first is to understand the social and economic impacts of expanded gambling. The second is to conduct a baseline study of problem gambling and existing prevention and treatment programs before the casinos ever open. And the third is just to facilitate independent studies to gather other information relevant to enhancing responsible gambling and mitigating gambling-related harm. And the project that I work on, the SIGMA study, encapsulates or meets each of these elements in certain ways. One of the big sort of asks of this research mandate also is that we make all of our data and findings available to the Commonwealth and to a broad base of stakeholders. And so the work that I'm going to be talking about really is in the spirit of that. Just so you get an idea of the kind of team that we have, our team is sort of broken into three topical areas: an examination of the social and health impacts of expanded gambling, which is appropriate because we're based in the University of Massachusetts Amherst School of Public Health and Health Sciences. We're also conducting an evaluation of problem gambling services, and then we're working with a team of economic and public policy experts to do an evaluation of the economic and fiscal impacts of this new change to the Commonwealth. I've listed some of the research activities that we're doing under each of the little topical components, but the important thing for you to understand is that we are collecting an enormous amount of data, both primary data through surveys that we're doing, but also just a huge amount of secondary data. And one of the challenges is for us to make these data available to as broad an audience as possible. So from the get-go, we've really been thinking about and having important dialogues about how best to share data and how to meaningfully share data. So the goal of this presentation is really to share one of the tools that we've come to. And the goal of the tool that I'm going to share with you, and really our mandate around the tool I'm going to demonstrate, is to provide stakeholders across Massachusetts with a technological tool that they can use to assess the population-level impacts of expanded gambling. I think that in coming to how we do this and in thinking about data sharing, there are a lot of options to choose from in the age in which we're living. I have a really amazing colleague named Nick Reich who does a lot of epidemiologic disease surveillance work, and he's done some really cutting edge work in this area, and we borrowed from him in terms of the tool that we ultimately selected. So the tool we selected is a tool called Shiny, and just to sort of back up on this, a quick show of hands, how many in the room are familiar with R? A few hands, but not all hands. So for those of you who didn't raise your hand, all you need to know about R is that it's an open source statistical software, and you can do the types of statistical analysis, the same types of analysis that you would do in SAS, SPSS, or Stata in R. R Studio is a package, or is sort of a division, I guess, of R, and what it does is it provides users with an interface and a console that enables them to do extra special things with R in a much easier way. So the tool that we're using is called Shiny, and Shiny is a package that is offered through R Studio. And the way that I like to think about it, and what it does, is it enables users to transform statistical analyses into visually dynamic, interactive web applications without the use of HTML, CSS, or JavaScript knowledge. The way that I like to think about Shiny is that Shiny is a translator. So I work with a lot of biostatisticians that are awesome at math, but not great at making a beautiful website. What Shiny really does is it enables them to take their awesome stat software sort of coding skills, and it translates that into HTML and JavaScript to make a beautiful, visually appealing product without me ever having to know those other coding languages. So it's wonderful in that way. So in terms of how we utilize this app, our process is pretty simple. We have an amazing team of graduate students, and I neglected to acknowledge them in the beginning. They were all listed as my co-authors. They absolutely are sort of standing on their shoulders doing this presentation. They're the ones that write the code and design the apps and really do all the work, and I'm just their messenger. But we have an enormous amount of data that comes into the project. All of that data that comes in is funneled into our data management center. The data is then cleaned and it's packaged for use in a number of different softwares, including R, SAS, Stata, all the ones you'd expect. Once the data are cleaned and packaged, we hand them over to our students. We have some dialogue about these are the data that we have, what do we think is going to be most interesting to our audience, what's most interesting to you, students, and they work as a team. So we have a senior student that's been on our team for a while who coordinates the work of underclassmen students, basically. And together, they create apps. Once they've created an app, we pilot them, they send them to myself and the data manager, we go through several rounds of critique, which probably drives them crazy, and then we eventually give them a green light to put the apps on our website, and that's really how we get them out to the public, is right through our website. It's important to mention that all of our code is available on GitHub, and I don't know if many of you use GitHub or familiar, but for those of you that don't, I like to think of it as the Dropbox of the coding world. So I can write my code, I can put up pieces of code, my partners and I, my team and I can collaborate on code-based projects all within GitHub, and then other users that are also members of GitHub can get access to what we've done to learn from it, and you can share code. So it's awesome. And all of our code for the apps that we've created is available on GitHub. I'll give you that link later. So now, really just dive into the most exciting piece, which is the demonstration, and let's hope that technology is helpful with us, it cooperates with me. This morning in my hotel, I had a little bit of trouble with the Wi-Fi, so we'll see. So all of the apps, as I just said, are available on our website. And what you're looking at here is the Sigma website, and we have a data tab. So there's a little bit of a paragraph that explains what you're seeing, and then you can see our apps. As you can see, I mean, this is just a year of work, really. We have a number of different health indicators and social determinant of health indicators apps that we've created. Although there are a small number of apps, it's important to remember that one app might encompass multiple measures. And the students wanted me to demonstrate our employment app with you today. So for the purposes of this demonstration, what I think would be good is for you to pretend that you are a resident of one of the communities in Massachusetts that's about to get a new casino. When you were being sort of sold on this idea of getting a casino, you were told that the casino was going to create tens of thousands of jobs in your community. And that's one of the outcomes that you're really interested in. Understandably, you want to know, does this actually create more businesses, more employment? And does that translate to higher quality of life for me and my neighbors and people in my state? So I think that's really the target use of this, is for that kind of person. With the click of a button to the website, where we are now, you can access that information. So this is sort of the default view when you click on any of the apps. It's the About tab. All of the apps have a left panel that'll give you the author's names, an app or a link to a survey where you can give us comments and feedback, a link to the data source. In this case, these data are from the Massachusetts Office of Labor and Workforce Development, and then a link to our GitHub code. So this About tab is pretty boring, really. It tells you how to use the app, but where all the magic happens is up in these tabs. So the first choice you have for viewing data is in the Summary tab, and you'll notice that these different instructions that you get on the left bar change depending on what you click on. Sorry, as I click, I have to get away from the mic, so I hope you can all hear me. Like I need music, it's like a circus. So you have a lot of different choices in how you get to view the data, even within each of the tabs. So you can choose the time span. In this case, you can look at a single year, or you can look at multiple years. There's a slider bar where you can circulate across the years, and you'll see that as you slide across the bar, different years are added. And then because this is sort of an overwhelming amount of data, if you want, you can select the municipality or city that you want to view the data for. So just in the spirit of our example, I'm going to type in the three casino communities. And I don't know what computer's controlling it. Like challenging spelling in front of people. So you can see that as I typed in cities, they started to populate. One of the nice features of the Summary app, it's a little bit difficult to do this in R itself, is you can toggle on the column headers and it'll sort your data for you, which is nice. It'd be hard to do that in R. So this is, you know, as cool as that is, this is the least exciting feature of the app. Where it gets more exciting is in the different ways of manipulating the data that you have. So the second way that you can kind of look at data is to plot it. In this particular case, because of the type of data we're dealing with, the data are going to be shown in a line plot. And you have a number of different choices over to the left. This just defaults with Amherst as the first community that pulled up, but you can customize what you want to see. You can select your municipality. So again, we're going to type in, except I've got to type it in the right place. We're going to type in the state's casino communities. You'll notice that as I type them in, different lines appear on the bar chart. On the line chart, you've got black is Everett, red is Plainville, and green is Springfield. You can choose what variable you want to look at. So right now we're looking at employment and business establishments. You could also look at wages. I'll click into both here in just a second. And you can either choose to look at actual values or how these things have changed since 2003. We have 10 years of data, so 2003 is just sort of a generic starting point. So right now we're looking at the actual number of employment and business establishments in these different communities over time. You can see this is pretty flat. As you look at wages, the picture is a little bit different. You can see that sort of over time, there's a sort of a stability, but a kind of decreasing trend here. If you click on any data point, you can get a sense of what the actual sort of average weekly wage is. If you look at change since 2003, this changes the view again sort of dramatically, and you can click on data points. So what you can see if you click on that is that in 2012 in Plainville, there was a reduction of roughly 25% since 2003. Wages have fallen by roughly 25% since 2003. So that's the plot tab. And then the last piece just to demonstrate in terms of the app is a map tab. And you'll notice that it doesn't populate until it generates. So just like with the other facets of the app, you can choose what you want to see. You can look at employment, business establishments, or wages. Any preferences, audience? Wages. That's what I'm most interested in, too. And we can look at actual values or change since 2003. Let's just, for the excitement, just get it to populate, and then we'll move things around. So what you can see, what you can see is that I don't know how to use my mouse. Sorry, this isn't my computer, and it's a little sensitive. So what you can see, generally with most of the maps, deeper, more saturated colors are going to represent higher values, while lighter, less saturated colors represent lower values. And you can see the general distribution across the state. If you were interested in a particular community, let's just pick Boston because it's a real obvious one, you could look at the average weekly wage and see details on it. So $1,585 is the average weekly wage in Boston in 2012. We could also look at change since 2003, and this is really interesting. This is sort of an economic variable when you think about the Great Recession. This gets to be really interesting. If we wanted to do that, we could toggle back to sort of any year. So let's just think about the Great Recession and toggle back to 2009. What you can see is that as I'm toggling, this is updating. Sometimes it takes it a moment. In this particular view, what you're seeing is if things are colored teal or that sort of blue-green, you're seeing a general reduction in wages, and if they're yellow, you're seeing a general increase in wages over time. And just as before, you can click on a particular community. One of the fun things about the map tab, especially with an economic variable, is that you can kind of click and see how a particular measure changes over time, depending on the speed of your Wi-Fi. So that's the third option that users have for interacting with the data. We also have a more information tab, and what that tab provides is just more information about the variable. So if somebody was a little bit confused about what does average monthly employment mean, or what does average weekly wage mean, they could go and get a definition, and we try to write them our best in sort of lay language. So that's the tool that I wanted to sort of demonstrate. And I had sort of a limited range of things I could show you just within that one app, but I want to demonstrate a couple of other things. So the kind of apps we create and what they ultimately look like and the features they have really depends on the data source itself. So what you're looking at here is a screenshot from our suicide rate application that we created. So what this does is it enables users to look at suicide rates across the state of Massachusetts. Those data, because of the relatively low incidence and prevalence of suicide in our state, they're only available at a county level. To drill down much lower than that, you could compromise confidentiality. So this is what a county level map looks like. This is an example of data for which single year data isn't available. So one of our big data sources is the American Community Survey. And due to the nature of many of those variables and being able to get down to a small geography, we like to get down to the city level as much as humanly possible because we think that's what our audience is going to be interested in. To do that with ACS data, what you have to do is you get a five-year estimate. So with these five-year estimates, we're not able to show things as conveniently or in an easy-to-understand way on a line plot, so we use bar graphs. So what you can see on this bar graph is you've got the city, you've got the county, you've got Massachusetts and the U.S., so you can sort of get that comparison. Here's an example of a five-year estimate dealing with a variable that has multiple different components and then multiple different categories of that variable. So this is a screenshot of our demographics app. And we're looking at age, which has multiple categories. And so our students decided to display this in a stacked bar. And again, you've got, you know, your city, your county, the state, and the U.S. So you can compare across. This is another way of handling that multiple values issue. In this case, you're looking at our educational attainment app. On the x-axis, you've got the different levels of educational attainment. And on this particular app, each of the different color bars represents a different unit of geography. So there is some customization. You can really change the view as is appropriate for the data you're using and your overall intention. We just have like 3 minutes left, so just a few discussions. I think the strengths of this app is that, of this particular tool, is that interactive web applications can be used by a wide variety of individuals with different learning styles. Kids love to use these apps. They're really universally appealing. They provide a very simple mechanism for conveying complex data and concepts that might otherwise kind of put people to sleep. And when people interact with this, it gives the data new life. They achieve the goal of sharing data using a technological tool that I expressed earlier, and it's a really fantastic teaching tool. I don't know if any of you work with students, but this is phenomenal. In addition to having them work together on teams to create these, and having some really amazing dialogue about how do you translate biostatistics to a lay audience, which is really challenging for some of them, it's a wonderful tool to bring into the classroom. Shiny and R, it being open source, there's a lot of potential to use this for free, and it can be a wonderful way to teach students. So I can't say that enough. There are some limitations, though. It just recently, Shiny came out of beta phase, and so the technology that we're using is constantly evolving. There's still glitches. What you can do is always expanding and changing, which is awesome, but challenging in terms of creating a standardized process for app creation. Not all data are available at small enough geographies to make them worth mapping, and unfortunately, this is especially true of traditional health data. It can be difficult to get it at a fine-grained geography. Right now, we're not showing statistical differences between geographic areas. This is something we're experimenting with, but it has challenges for a lay audience. It makes it more complicated, and so far we haven't liked the complexity it's introduced. And then the last piece, I think it's important to note that this wouldn't be accessible to populations without internet access or that had limited English proficiency since they're entirely in English. I just have two more slides and then I'm done. Next steps for us is to experiment with creating these apps using our own primary data. And that's going to come with its own set of challenges to be explored and solved. Obviously, when you're dealing with primary data, there are privacy concerns. GitHub is not the best option. There are some tiered GitHub options, but it's not the best option for sharing code due to that privacy concern. We're dealing with sort of small geography issues, and then low base rates for disorders of interest. So one of the disorders we're interested in is gambling disorder, problematic gambling behavior, which has a base prevalence rate of just under 2%. So that's not exciting on a map. You know, your y-axis gets really boring. So we have to figure some of that out. Now the most important part, if this is something that you're interested in doing and creating, I can't say enough about the resources that are out there. Our studio has a number of excellent tutorials that you can use. Just watching the first one gives you an idea of the capability. They're really awesome. This just came out of beta, so they're very service oriented around trying to help you use them. Coursera also offers a free course on developing data products using Shiny. That was developed by Johns Hopkins. It's excellent. You can link to our GitHub repository and see how we wrote every line of code. And you can link to our website if you want to play around with some of the different apps. We obviously did a real quick and dirty kind of run through of the app that I showed you. And then last but not least, there's contact info. And if you're interested in this, please come and get my card. We can email and I can send you all these links or send you the presentation. I'm happy to do that. I really view this as a way of, it's an excellent learning tool and data sharing tool. And as many of us as can use as possible is awesome. So that's all I have. I think we're out of time, but if you want to ask a couple questions. Yeah.
Where did you get the mapping data?
So some of it's about sort of matching our data set, which is geocoded. But then we run it all through Google Maps, and there's a kind of a complicated polygon coding thing. But it's basically geocoding our data and then Google Maps.
Okay. And does it work on phone, or is it responsive design, or is it actually a mobile app?
It's not a mobile app, so it's not like something that you would download on your phone. It does have capability on phone and tablet. To be honest with you, it's easier to use it at a computer, and that's something that we're working on, but it will adjust to screen size and all of that. Using it on your phone is a challenge. I can use it on my iPad, no problem. Yeah, so that's a great question. Any other questions about it? Yeah?
Did you all explore the Healthy Community Institute, staff out of UCLA? How was your
That's a great question. We looked at a number of different models, and so I don't know that we looked at a lot of different models, and so isolating that the tools that they're using is a little bit difficult right now. I think this is very similar to things that you can do with other softwares. I think the advantages of it, the reason that we went for this as opposed to something else, is that it's all based out of open source packages, so you can make these for free. I mean, once you start making them and needing a lot of storage space, it gets a little more expensive. But this is something that's very accessible, very low cost. The other thing is, I think that translation from R into HTML and sort of more aesthetically appealing coding languages is a real benefit too. So we can make something these are really simple so far graphically, but we can make something that's pretty visually appealing without needing to know a bunch of different languages. And that's essential to our team to do it quickly and reduce the learning curve for students. Also the learning curve for supervising, because I'm not even that great at R coding, so. Yeah.
So process, you just take the data and put it to R?
Yep, it all. Mm-hmm. We run everything through R Studio because the console really does make things a lot easier, but that's all R based. So yeah, absolutely, it's all running out of R. Awesome, it seems like there are no more hands. Thanks for coming and for sticking through at the end. Thank you.